The following is a pre-recorded show. Welcome to Winning in Retirement with your host, Brian Akers, certified financial planner professional and founder of Akers Financial Group. Now, helping you win in your retirement, here's Brian Akers.
Welcome to Winning in Retirement. I'm Brian Akers from Akers Financial Group, and here with me today is Jeff Akers, also from Akers Financial Group. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Brian.
Have you been dusting off your CFP plaques and all your accolades for being a financial advisor?
You know, I was actually thinking this morning, I've got to get a frame for my CFP certificate.
You don't have it framed?
No, I don't have it framed yet.
Okay, we'll have to work on it.
I'm slacking. I got to get that taken care of.
Got to be proud
of it. I've got the card in my wallet.
And you've done all the work.
Yeah, may as well show it off, right?
Nail it on the wall, right? All right, so, hey, welcome to the show. Hey, Jeff and I are here. We want to include you, too, as we talk. So the idea is this. You listen to Winning in Retirement. No matter what age, you want to be winning in the retirement years. If you don't get ready to win, how do you win? We don't think you can. And so what happens is this. Winning in retirement is about a lifetime of solid financial decisions that will affect your retirement years. Life insurance can be used in many ways, and we wanted to have a show on how life insurance is a tool that most people require sometimes during their life.
Yeah.
Not all the time.
Well, yeah.
So we're going to do a show about it. We're going to call the show, Do You Need Life Insurance?
Sometimes, yes.
Sometimes, no.
There you go.
All right. So you heard the word life insurance, and you're getting ready to click the show off, right?
Don't do that.
You're driving around going, life insurance. Really? We have to talk about that? It's depressing. It's not fun. So, all right, Jeff. So you got to make life insurance fun today. Do you need life insurance? We're going to use our career of using life insurance for the right reasons at the right time for people. And we're going to explain how it works in the right way and talk about some of the bad ways.
Well, yeah. And keep in mind, Brian has been at this during or over the course of 5 decades. He's been at this for a long time. I got them all choked up. I can see it.
Oh, man. No, I just got older as you spoke. I really wanted to be young for another day or so.
Yeah, so even as we get older, we talk about life insurance.
Well, all right, so I am getting older, and life insurance matters a little bit more than it did when I was younger. You know, when you're younger and you're invincible, right? I don't need life insurance. I'm fine. And the thing is the answer is you're right. You don't need life insurance.
Yeah, it's you not going to benefit you.
You don't need it at all. The answer is this. So the question is, do you need life insurance? Not for yourself.
Right.
You need it for every responsibility, every person you love and care about, everything you want to build a legacy or give to. These are when you need life insurance.
Yep. Now, there is one time, and we'll get to it later on, but there is one time where you need the life insurance because you might be able to use it for something while you're alive.
Oh, so you're saying cashing in early.
Well, no, not exactly cashing it in, but at least using the money that's
cashing
in there.
Cashing it in from the policy, not from cashing in referencing a death.
Well, no death.
Not going to parlay words that way.
Yeah, but using the cash value sometimes. We'll get to that a little bit later on, but that's the one time I can think of you might need it yourself.
All right, so you're driving your car and life insurance, like, I got it at work. I don't need to worry about that. It's nothing I need. So what we want to do is try to explain what life insurance is, how it works, how it can work well for you. And we have lots of different ways to try to explain it over the next time.
Right. It's like a lot of topics that we cover with folks. You need to understand the differences in types of life insurance in this case.
So the word you wanted to say, go ahead and say that word.
There was a word that I wanted to say?
Yeah, there's a word. You said, I love that word.
I don't remember what word I love.
Oh, that you want to be an advocate for people in the life insurance decision.
Oh, I did like that word. Darn. An advocate, a coach.
Yeah. Well, I'm a coach, you're advocate. How about
okay,
that?
Okay, you coach, I'll advocate.
All right, so you used that. You wanted to use that word. I had to put it in your mouth. What does that mean at all? I don't understand.
So it's the idea of an advocate for the client. So it's an advocate for you. And that means that I look at your situation and say, here's the things that you need. Mm-hmm. It does not mean that I meet with you and you talk about how you want to put your kids through college and you want to retire. And the first thing I do is say, hey, you need this big life insurance policy. Right. I want to advocate for what you need, not just something that I would want to sell. So an advocate is someone who's looking out for your interests.
All right. So I'm going to hit you with two hard questions.
Two of them.
I did not pre-warn you on these questions.
Well, then there might be silence.
Right. So the first one is this. But you're an insurance agent.
Right.
Which makes you an agent of insurance company.
Correct.
How can you be an advocate for a person in front of you?
For the client. So as an insurance agent, yes, I represent insurance companies, but we are brokers, so we use a lot of different companies. We're not captive to any one company. But as financial planners and as certified financial planners, we're required to act in the client, your best interest. And so your best interest might be you need life insurance, or it might be you don't, or it'll dictate what kind. So I'm advocating for the client, but then I'm representing the company when I take the application.
Right. And so as an agent for the company, you're not going to make sure there's any fraud. You're going to make sure there's nothing filled in incorrectly or forgotten to put down.
Don't lie on the application.
Right. Because if you have to lie to get something, they're not going to pay out. They're going to find a way to get the information.
And that wouldn't be advocating for you anyway, because we bought it for a purpose, and then the insurance company finds something not going to pay it. Right. Then it was useless.
All right, so we got 1,000 things to talk about and very few minutes to do it. So, all right, so
you said 2 questions. That was only one.
I know. The financial advisor versus agent. Financial advisor versus agent. And when do you change your hat? And that's more of a structure. When you're in that meeting, how can someone say you're advising and then you're also going to sell me insurance? How does that really work in a meeting?
Right. So advising is looking at your needs and saying, okay, this is something you need. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to go shop for whatever that is.
Right.
And then I'm the agent for the insurance company once we pick an insurance company.
Now some advisors will only give you what you need to do. Then you have to go out and buy it yourself.
Right.
And then what we've decided is that when you go out to buy it yourself, then mistakes can be made. When you go to an insurance agent who specializes in selling only, you might get sold something that wasn't exactly advised.
Right.
And then you get back to the advisor and they go, oh, that's the wrong thing. Uh-huh.
Right.
And then goes back.
Right.
All right. So the basic idea is this. An insurance agent is someone who's going to provide the insurance to you. If you're on a website, anywhere you are, there's an insurance agent representing the company doing the business for you. That's mm-hmm. just the way it works.
Right.
Investment advisor, a financial planner, those kind of roles are very important in that they take on where they're going to see what's best in your situation is what they want to do. Yeah. Now, can you try to explain some basic life insurance for me, like what kind of types are out there?
Oh, different types?
Yeah.
So 2 broad categories. One I'd say is where you're renting, and that's term insurance.
Right.
So term insurance is very simple. There's a certain period of time that you've got life insurance, you're going to pay a premium, and at the end of that time, you're not going to pay a premium and there's not going to be life insurance.
Right.
Some companies have something where they'll let you keep paying, but it's more and more and more and more in order to keep that life insurance. But that's term insurance. There's no cash value in term insurance.
Right. And then there's policies that are geared towards your mortgage, and a death benefit will go down as you lower your mortgage.
Right. Mortgage insurance.
We view term insurance like any commodity that you need to shop it with a very good company. And make sure that it has certain things called convertibility, the ability to convert it to a permanent policy if you have
right.
to. There's a lot of factors in buying term insurance more than just clicking.
Right. It's not just what's the cheapest number.
Right. So when people call us and we were talking about life insurance and they need to have a death benefit fund, like a term insurance idea, then we shop around, try to buy the best time period, like 5, 10, 20, 30-year term, whatever you need to do, and then fit it into their situation.
Right. When you have young kids, well, we all hope that in 20 years they'll be gone, but you know, maybe we want to cover that for 30 just in case nowadays.
Well, based on healthcare, we're covering them for healthcare to 26.
At least 26, yeah.
But I don't know how to answer that one, Jeffrey. I believe that what we need to do is understand terms for a period of time, and it is the cheapest because it's basically a pure death benefit with some administration costs. Generally, you make massive commissions off of term insurance? Is that why you sell it?
No. Term insurance essentially gives us enough to write the policy, and that's...
And you get some money based on the first year premium.
Right.
That's how you compensate it for that.
Right.
Now, when people sell insurance that's more permanent and the premium's 4 times out of term or mm-hmm. 8 times, and it's a lot larger, commissions are a lot higher.
Right. Right. That pays us more. Mm-hmm. The insurance policy itself also has added benefits. So You are getting something for that.
But that's one of the reasons people hear, oh, a show about life insurance. Do you need life insurance? And the answer is most likely, no, I just got sold life insurance versus I bought life insurance.
Right.
We want you to have a thought process of, I need life insurance for this reason.
Right.
Then we'll basically proceed down a path of, what kind should you buy that fits? What other kinds of permanent insurance are there, Jeff?
So the first kind of permanent insurance is whole life, where essentially everything in it is guaranteed. You're going to pay a certain premium. They're going to give you a certain interest rate and a certain death benefit, and everything's laid out right when you buy it. Cash value builds up over time.
These basic terms of life insurance come in a lot of different company products, a lot of different fluctuations of their name or variations. I'm not sure of all the terms to use, but they use the word adjustment, flexible, all kinds of things when it comes to the second one, universal life. That's
right.
Been around since the 80s, which is a combination of some guarantees and then cash value that has more current interest rates, not tied to the insurance company itself.
Right. And when you hear flexible premium, well, that means that maybe 1 year you can't pay as much premium, and so you don't have to. The next year you can pay a little bit more, but the amount that you pay might be flexible. But then in return for that, there's also the interest rates, like Brian's talking about. They can go up and down some over time. They're not going to be guaranteed at the beginning.
Absolutely. Then there's things called variable universal life, where the investment part of the insurance policy is actually put into sub-accounts that are tied to the market.
Right.
Typically, lots of layers of expense. You need to understand if that really fits for you. It's generally used to build cash value. We'll try to explain that later in the show. But these are just general ideas that are out there.
Right.
There's long-term care life insurance, which brings it all together. Waiver premium, all kinds of things, to a point where some people feel insurance poor.
Right. They own so much life insurance, they're paying so much premium, they got no money for anything else.
Right. And that's not what we want you to do. We want you to plan what you need and then buy what you're required to, and make it fit your plan.
Right.
Now, at Acres Financial Group, we're local. We're independent. We don't report to a big company on Wall Street or a big company in Iowa. We report to you. We have offices in Lutherville and Forest Hill, and clients all around the country, really all around Maryland, all around the Mid-Atlantic, any part of the listening area we have clients, which is a lot of fun. It's so easy to begin winning in retirement. You can call us for a free consultation with one of our team of advisors. Call us at 833-WIN-RETIRE. That's 833-WINRETIRE. We'll give you a call on Monday to schedule your free in-person or Zoom meeting. Go to acresfinancialgroup.com or call us at 833-946-7384 to start planning for your retirement now. What is the Swiss Army knife of financial tools? We'll explain in a moment.
You're listening to a pre-recorded show. Welcome back to Winning in Retirement. Call 833-WIN-RETIRE now to schedule a visit with Brian and his team and begin winning in retirement. Once again, here's Brian Akers.
Hey, welcome back to Winning in Retirement. I'm Brian Akers. Here with me today is Jeff Akers, certified financial planner practitioner, vice president of Akers Financial Group, and has been working at Akers Financial Group and affiliated with me for 23 years.
Yeah, coming up on that.
How about that?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm sorry. The reason I say those kind of things is that in financial planning, you have people that have started their career. And then a lot of times their first job might be life insurance agents. And so they're given a career to go chase down people and try to sell life insurance.
Right.
And then they take classes and they get licenses and all these things. So they learn to do more and more broader planning. And then they say, oh, maybe it's not about selling just one product.
Right. But it can take a while to get there.
Yeah. And then as you get older, you basically got through the licensing, you can do more presenting, you have more ideas, more information, and advise more. And then the older advisors, depending on how they were raised, if they're raised in the insurance advisory system, a stockbroker system, sort of makes people tend towards the products that they give clients.
Right, right.
And the reason I want to say that is that when we do the show today called Do You Need Life Insurance, I want you to understand that whoever is recommending life insurance, you need to know where they come from. Why are they recommending?
Mm-hmm.
If they have a one-sided business card, most likely that means they're not an investment person or a financial advisor. They might call themselves an insurance advisor, but they don't have a disclosure. Disclosures take two sides of a card,
right?
If you want to be an advisor.
So if their business card has a blank back.
Check them out. Make sure you know where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is this. if someone asks us, do you need life insurance? Our answer is maybe.
Right.
If you ask someone that only sells one thing and you say, do you sell life insurance? They would say, absolutely.
Right.
And the difference is sort of, where is this advice coming from? Is it advice or is it sales? This is not an easy topic. It's a tough topic. But understand that do you need life insurance has to do with you and your family and what happens if you die tomorrow. Yeah. Not a fun topic to talk about. We want you to keep listening because we want you to win in retirement years because you were wise with your money throughout your life. You buy the insurance you need. You're not insurance poor. You've done the things you need when it comes to the setting money aside. Now, this topic this quarter was, let me make sure I can say it right.
Say it slowly.
What is the Swiss Army knife of financial tools? We'll try to explain. Go. Now, Swiss Army knife. Do you have one in your pocket, Jeff?
I do not.
And why not?
Well, it's a long story, but let's just say I don't carry one anymore.
Okay. That's good. Sad part is I know the story and it's funny, but it shouldn't be on the radio. All right. So we're moving right back to Swiss Army knife of financial tools. Now that sounds markety and it sounds funny, but
right.
Now, when I think of Swiss Army knife, the first thing I think of are my nails long enough to get things, the tools out. To open them up. And then they keep giving smaller and smaller Swiss Army knives, right?
Yeah.
And how are you supposed to get them open?
And my fingers seem to keep getting fatter and fatter and can't get them open.
Oh, my goodness. I'd be out lost in the wilderness and I can't get the compass part to come out of the knife, right?
Yep. But the Swiss Army knife, it's a multi-tool, so it does a lot of different things.
And that's exactly where we're going on life insurance and its role like a Swiss Army knife.
So it can do life insurance, you're saying, can do a lot of different things.
I'm trying to say that.
Okay.
But I don't really know if I did.
Okay. Well, now you have.
Okay. What else am I trying to say, Jeff?
Well, one of the things is death benefit. We're all familiar with that, but now we're going to move on to some other things.
Yeah. So life insurance begins with death benefit. The death benefit is how the whole chassis, the whole financial tool is built. You have to have death benefit. Guess what? It costs money.
Yeah.
And guess it costs money, more money every year. And why is that, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, it costs more money every year because every year we're alive, we're a year closer to death.
Absolutely. So if you say I'm 100, most likely it's going to be extremely expensive.
Yep.
If you're 24.
Not so expensive. If you're in good health.
If you're in good health, right. So when they're looking at policies that are more permanent, more cash value design, one for the lifetime, policies that will give your money back if after you pay it in, if you cash it out after 20 years, understand that any of these policies, how they're designed is through a combination of death benefit, which costs money, mortality costs. It's usually a percentage on cost coming out, or it's going to be pure dollar amounts. Right. There's a basic cost, and then there actually is the incredibly high cost of a guaranteed death benefit in a policy.
Oh,
and we've seen some of them actually work that way, where people have had to pay the high cost.
Yeah, it might cost more because they're guaranteeing the death benefit even if your cash value goes down.
Yeah.
That can get expensive.
Right. So insurance policies have the death benefit cost. So term insurance has death benefit costs.
Right.
All kinds have this death benefit cost.
Right.
And it gets higher internally the whole way through.
Right.
And now the next thing is this, is that when you give money to an insurance company and you want to build a more permanent policy, you actually have to pay administration fees, taxes, a bunch of other things. And then whatever is left over after paying all those fees, you end up having cash value.
Right.
And how they invest the cash value is the difference between the different kinds of policies.
Right. So you know, there are some policies where it's just you know how that insurance company is doing. They put it in the insurance company fund, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so those investment choices will be the differences between whole life, universal life, and variable universal. The idea is this whole chassis is a lot like a house. And
okay.
That imagine you have your house, and if you are putting your money into your house, paying down the mortgage,
okay,
you paid your interest, principal, escrow, and all of a sudden you're building up equity in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine in a house, you're building up equity. In a policy, insurance policy, you're building up cash value.
Right.
That cash value is in there and it's growing inside. And just like a house, if you take a home equity loan, do you pay income tax taking out your home equity loan?
No.
And why is that?
Well, because it's an asset and you haven't really taken income. I've taken a loan that I'm going to pay back.
Right. So you just borrowed what was your money inside. The same type of thing is working inside the insurance policy, in that you can take the money you put in out tax-free. Yep. You can also take out a loan against the policy, have it almost like a home equity loan.
Right. I actually got a life insurance policy when I was in my early 20s. it was a variable universal life policy. So the cash value was building up over time. And then, you know, 15 years later, my wife and I are looking to adopt a couple of kids, and I could use a loan from that life insurance policy to help pay for the adoption.
Right.
Well, it was tax-free, didn't have to even report anything when it came to taxes. And then after that, I just paid a little bit back to the policy and eventually paid off that loan. So the policy's still going. I've still got the death benefit. I've still got a cash value, mm-hmm. but I was able to use the money when I needed it.
Right. So that tool, the life insurance policy with a cash value, was money in there that you could use tax-free.
Yep.
And you were in there a long time. Understand that when we're talking about the cash value life insurance, the word long time to me means 15 years.
Right.
I think it's hard to do a policy and get money back out in like 7 years or 8 years.
You're using the example of the mortgage on your home. You make that big payment, but especially early on, only a little bit goes to the principal.
Right.
And the principal is the only part that's building your equity. So it's a little similar to that. There are expenses in life insurance, and early on, only a little bit of it's actually going to cash value.
Yeah, so we're trying not to get too technical on you, but understand, we want you to understand, do you need life insurance? And then it's a tool. Well, what do we want it to do for us?
Right.
What do we want that to use? How do you want to use it in the future? Do you want to use it while you're alive? Or is it truly for your loved ones, for your family, for legacy? What is the purpose behind it so that the policy design will be best?
Right. And if you take anything away from the show, I'd like it to be that there's a purpose for life insurance. You need to know the purpose, and that's going to dictate everything else.
Whenever I hear purpose for life insurance, I hear long-term commitment and it's going to pay when I die, I think about, oh, that company needs to be around when I die.
Yes, it does.
So if I'm 50-ish and I live to, let's say 90-ish, that'd be a nice goal.
40 years.
90-ish. So that means a company has to be around in the 90-ish year right. to pay out. So the company you buy shouldn't just be shopping on the cheapest premium. You got to look at things called ratings to understand a company. Are they good? Are they solid financially? Are they doing well?
Right. Because we're essentially transferring a risk to the insurance company. And so we want to make sure that insurance company is around to pay off when that risk comes to happen.
Right. So if a company does not do well, that's when they charge more internal charges up to the guaranteed maximum, which are inside policy. That's just a little trick you need to know.
Right. Yeah, every policy, they're going to show you, here's what we're currently charging, but here's the maximum we could. And so when they start having trouble, it suddenly it goes up to that maximum they could.
Oh, this quarter's flying by. The goal is Swiss Army knife of financial tools. We've talked about life insurance. We used it for adopting kids.
Right.
I've used it, some of it before, to help buy houses and stuff.
Yeah.
We've used it for retirement for clients. We've used it as charitable gifts. We've used cash value for like a monthly retirement tax-free for someone to retire early because there's no federal penalty to take money out at 49 or 48.
Right. Last quarter, you mentioned long-term care too.
Yeah.
Did you want to? No? Okay.
Long-term care is more... not the cash value. The long-term care is a benefit you have to buy on top of it.
Right, inside the policy.
And so that's going to be another part of our future topic on today so that we can actually cover the expense of that and understand what you want to do.
Okay.
The cash value is using that money inside is something that you have the freedom to move in and out of it. The reality is you have to buy these kind of things the younger you are.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying you bought in the 20s. I bought a couple when I'm in my 20s, and it gave me the cash value later.
Right.
Now, we think all the way up into the later 40s is probably the prime time to buy it, to give it that 15, 20 years of growth it needs to really get to where the cash value is building up to where it can really do things for you.
Right, before you're going to tap it and start using some of it.
Absolutely. All right. So Jeff, I have this little story we got to talk about.
Uh-oh.
Actually, no, I'm not going to do that one. We're going to do another story. I'm just going to talk about Acres Financial Group. Jeff and I have a little ad we talk about going to the restaurant, but we're not going to do that one today.
We're not going to the restaurant today?
No, we're going to talk about just the financial fingerprint. So we're doing financial planning and life insurance talk, right, Jeff?
Okay.
And when they come in, we say, well, do you need life insurance? We talk about financial fingerprint.
Right.
That financial fingerprint is truly their situation.
Right.
Is life insurance calculation part of that fingerprint?
Well, the things that are going to dictate that calculation are part of the fingerprint.
Exactly right.
But then we've got to do the calculation.
Absolutely. So what happens is this. We have to understand who you are, what you have, what you own. Then we can come back with the advice on what you should have. And what you have to understand is this. Perhaps you've been sold something, regardless of whether you need it or not. Not at Acres Financial Group. With us, your retirement money, your insurance decisions follow your financial fingerprint. What we want you to do is this. We want you to understand that this insurance calculation, it is determined by about you. It's not about anybody else but you and your situation. So give us a call at 833-WIN-RETIRE and schedule an in-person or Zoom meeting with one of our team of advisors. Or go to our website at acresfinancialgroup.com. How do you guarantee a tax-free inheritance to your family? The answer may surprise you. We will explain in a couple minutes.
You're listening to a pre-recorded show. Welcome back to Winning in Retirement. Call 833-WIN-RETIRE now to schedule a visit with Brian and his team and begin winning in retirement. Once again, here's Brian Akers.
Welcome back to Winning in Retirement. I'm Brian Akers. Here with me today is Jeff Akers. We are both certified financial planner practitioners from Akers Financial Group. What that means is we're financial advisors here to advise on retirement. As a radio show, you give information, but we are not revising on your retirement until you call us.
Oh, my goodness. You got that right.
Yeah, so you hear information. Don't just go do it right away. No. Think about it. Get information together.
Come see us. Make sure it's for you.
Oh, yeah. Now, this topic is about how we help people win in retirement. Well, one big piece of that is understand the financial tool of life insurance. So today's show is called, Do You Need Life Insurance? Hopefully, you keep driving and don't turn the channel. If you're on the lawnmower, keep listening to the show. Wherever you are, be safe with it. Because do you need life insurance? We don't want you to use the life insurance.
That's right.
We want you to need it. Long-term future.
Right, right. That's for down the road.
It is tough talking about life insurance because it's not a fun topic.
No.
It becomes a topic that is all about, oh, if I die tomorrow, I don't want to talk about that. It's
right.
Like doing estate planning and everything else. So the idea is this, do you need life insurance? So coming into this quarter, the question was, how do you guarantee a tax-free inheritance to your family? The answer may surprise you. Now, why would something surprise us when it comes to guaranteeing income for your family?
Well, you hear the words tax-free.
Yeah.
And so many times, you know, someone passes away and the beneficiaries are receiving an inheritance and they're like, okay, how much tax am I going to have to pay on this?
Right.
And so when I can tell them in certain cases, there is no tax on this, Their eyes get real big. They're like, really?
Yeah.
So that's a surprise.
Yeah, so imagine we're thinking about calculating life insurance for a younger couple.
Okay.
And we're talking to them about they have a couple kids, two or three kids, they have a mortgage. I don't know how many cats and dogs. I usually don't add them into the life insurance need. I could if I need to. But basically, you come up with a number of need, and that need is designed to truly give you a death benefit that's going to be fulfilling the income need upon someone dies.
Right.
Now, in life insurance, you can actually have that designed to give the death benefit so that the family can then get the income down the road if you passed away.
Right.
But life insurance can also be used for money that you need during your lifetime.
Right. We talked a little bit about that just last time.
Yeah. So life insurance, the cash value comes out. That's where the income for you, but when you're thinking about a guaranteed tax-free benefit for them, for the ones that you love, that's truly the death benefit. So the death benefit, what happens typically if someone passes away, the first person to ask usually is the funeral home. They'll say, do you have life? And did that person have life insurance?
Right.
They're not going to ask you because you passed away.
Right. They'll ask your spouse or you know, whoever it is that goes. But the funeral home's asking because they kind of want to know how they're going to get paid.
Yeah. And so they conveniently will take a policy that has a death benefit that will cover their expense.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you had four policies and they're going to charge $17,000 and one's $25,000. They might say, oh, we will help you with that one.
Right.
Where the first $17,000 goes to them and then the rest goes to the beneficiaries.
Yep.
And so you sign a couple of forms, and then the life insurance pays them directly.
Yeah, bada bing, bada boom.
You do not have to agree to that.
Okay.
You don't have to agree to that at the funeral home. You can say, all right, so put all the information together, give us an estimate, and then you do the life insurance on our own.
Right.
Which I think that's more important to do it that way.
I'll take care of it, and I will pay you.
Now, so life insurance, typically when it's paid out, the person receiving it has this checkbook, or they can get a check.
Right.
And it happens rather fast.
Life insurance is remarkably quick, I've found.
It depends on how efficient the beneficiaries are, meaning what's wrote down.
Right.
Some agents we've found when we do the initial financial fingerprint do not do beneficiaries well.
Oh, boy.
I mean, they'll write things like estate.
Yeah.
We've seen that with a lot of small policies where the agent was trying to write it so fast, they never even cared to get the wife's name and put the name in there.
Yeah, if you're getting life insurance, don't put estate as your beneficiary.
Yeah, so this idea, do you need life insurance? And then this guaranteed tax-free inheritance, life insurance is tax-free for income tax.
Right, income tax-free.
And in the future, in the next 3 years, there's going to be higher and higher need to provide shelter from estate taxes.
Right, yeah.
And so there is ways to own life insurance to avoid estate tax also, I believe.
Right. So I've actually got a story I can tell about that if you'd like.
Tell a story, Jeff.
Okay. So they've got a couple of kids and they've got a high estate. And so right now, federal-wise, you know, it's not that they're at risk of the federal estate tax. They're close, but they're not quite there. But the estate tax in Maryland, the exemption for that's only $5 million right now. So, you know, they're past that. So we use something called an irrevocable life insurance trust.
The old islet.
The old islet.
Yeah.
So you open this trust, you buy a life insurance policy that's owned by the trust. Now it's out of your estate. And you're putting premiums into it to pay the premium for the life insurance policy. But upon the death of the person that's insured, that policy pays out and it goes to the beneficiaries, income tax free, estate tax free, all the tax frees.
If it's done all properly.
If it's done correctly.
That means that the life insurance is on you, but you can't own it.
Right.
And you can't control the trust, typically.
Right. So you're the insured, but you're not the trustee of the trust.
Right. So we're not going to cover all the detail of that. That's something where you call us and we have to go through that with our plus meeting.
There's some hoops you got to jump through to make it work.
But imagine that as your wealth is growing and you're hitting the 2, 4, 6, 10, 15, you know, all the way up to 25, 30 million. As you hit those levels, estate taxes start to kick in on the federal level above 25 right now, on 26. And then the estate level ends up at 5. You have to start watching it.
Yeah.
The hardest part when it comes to estate taxes, it all gets cut way down in 2026.
Right. The law is going to change what it was previous.
Sunset back down. So this tax-free inheritance, the recent talk I had the other day is we are trying to supply cash when the family needs it to pay for certain things like buy-sell agreements and also for having money to pay estate tax.
Okay.
If you have a business that's worth a lot of money and you're trying to transfer it to your family and kids, there's real nice ways to avoid income tax in stock by waiting till you pass away to give the stock.
Right.
But if it's large enough to hit the estate tax, you own a 45% estate tax bill.
And when you own a business like that you want to pass, it's not like you can sell a couple of pieces of it to pay the tax.
No, it's brutal for business owners, and this is one of the reasons some people, even large NFL companies like the Ravens, were sold for estate planning purposes because they didn't have any other way to try to avoid the estate tax without doing some planning. And some of the idea of having the estate tax and avoiding the estate tax in the future is going to be a huge topic because estate tax are being lowered, like I was trying to say. This life insurance, by moving it out of your estate into an irrevocable life insurance trust, estate tax-free, income tax-free, becomes the right thing to fund that legacy for your family. It replaces the wealth that's going to be lost to the IRS and other taxes that you have.
Right. So imagine you've got this business worth a lot of money that you want to pass on, but now you've got the islet, and that pays out tax-free, estate tax-free, and your beneficiaries can use that money to pay the tax on the business so they can actually keep the business.
Absolutely. Now, if we do this in miniature, let's call it just the regular Joe life insurance.
Okay.
One way to get it out of your estate is to have the kids own the life policy the last 5 years of your life.
Okay.
And so it's not really included. The cash value is not included in your estate or in your net worth calculation for any other purposes.
Right. So there are some ways to get around things.
All right. I wanted to not be too technical on the show today about, do you need life insurance? What I want you to understand is, you hear us talking about it and go, oh, that's not for me. The thing is this, we want to know about you so that we can then say, oh, this could be the best use of this tool of life insurance for your situation. Many people believe that their life insurance through work is all they need. They buy group benefits.
Right. They get a new job, they get their benefit sheet, and they're like, oh yeah, I'll check that off, and okay, I don't need life insurance now.
Right. Now, what happens, Jeff? What happens with the group benefit life?
Well, a lot of things happen. One of the things is they check the box and forget to give a beneficiary. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Another thing is, it's age banded. Mm-hmm. So every 5 years or so, that premium is going to go up on you. It's going to get more and more expensive over time.
Yeah. The one that really hits me hard is the fact that you don't have your job. You lose your job.
All of a sudden, that can happen too.
You lost your job and the insurance is gone.
Yep.
Let's say you're 55, 60 at that time. You can't get insurance anymore for that term without being expensive. So you're like stuck.
Right.
Where if you bought insurance on your own and made these decisions earlier in life and bought it for a lifetime and planned it out, you could pay a whole lot less and have insurance on your own terms.
Right.
Where you pick how long it pays and when you pay it and how much will come and who it goes to, and you control it.
And nowadays, people change jobs quite a bit. And so it's nice if you've got your insurance that's not tied to the job.
Absolutely. One of the things we believe in strongly is, if you are signing up for a company and you're not very healthy, buy the life insurance as much as you can as on the way in. A lot of times it's guaranteed coverage.
Right, guaranteed issue when you first get in.
All right, there's so much I could talk about in this section, but we wanted to cover how you guarantee a tax-free inheritance to your family. Well, life insurance is tax-free. That check is a check that's theirs. They put it and wherever they're going to invest that money or use it, it's theirs to have right away.
Right, and they don't have to worry about reporting taxes.
And that's the idea of the life insurance. Now, we're talking about life insurance because we want you to win in retirement, because we all know that the best part of retirement is getting your time back. You decide how to use it. Before retirement, your time is tied up with other commitments, and you know, mainly your job. A lot of that goes away when you retire. Your time is now consumed by things that you want to do. It's so easy to begin winning in retirement. Go to our website at acresfinancialgroup.com, scroll to the schedule a meeting section, and let us know you'd like to schedule your free consultation with one of our team of advisors. That's acresfinancialgroup.com, or call us at 833-WIN-RETIRE. That's 833-WINRETIRE. We'll give you a call on Monday to schedule your free in-person or Zoom meeting. Go to acresfinancialgroup.com or call us at 833-946-7384 to start planning for your retirement now. Why, how, and how much is the question? We will reveal the answer when we come back.
You're listening to a pre-recorded show. Welcome back to Winning in Retirement. Call 833-WIN-RETIRE now to schedule a visit with Brian and his team and begin winning in retirement. Once again, here's Brian Akers.
Welcome back to Winning in Retirement. I am Brian Akers, and here with me today is Jeff Akers. I'm a certified financial planner.
Yes.
And insurance agent.
Yes.
And stockbroker.
Yes.
Father.
Yes.
I'll try to think all the list.
Investment advisory representative.
Oh, yeah. All right. So cool. And that's Jeff Akers on the microphone.
Brian's got all those same things.
Well, the reason we cover all that is understanding where we're coming from when it comes to our training and our registration, so you understand what we're trying to do. Now, Akers Financial Group is considered fee and or commission And we truly try to walk through what people would be paying us anytime before they do any type of business so they can understand how planning fits,
right,
how the investment management fits, how if they need insurance, there's a commission on that side, and how we try to make it fit together to provide the services for our clients.
Right. And that first meeting, that's one of the things I try to explain to everyone is here's how we get paid.
Absolutely. Now, we have a website. It's acresfinancialgroup.com. Acres is A-K-E-R-S. Financial, F-I-N-A-N-C-I-A-L.com.
Hey, you did it.
I forgot the group part. Acresfinancialgroup.com. Yeah. The funny thing, when you set up websites, you do them by the websites that are the misspelling. I did just in case. I did just for fun. But it actually works. All right, back to the show. The show is this. We are a group of CFPs, a bunch of CFPs, and a financial service company that's designed to service our clients throughout their lifetime. Understand that when you do financial planning, you want to implement what the plan says, and then you want to track and follow it. Just like any other investment, insurance needs to be tracked and watched over and make sure you have the right insurance. Mm-hmm. So that's why this quarter is so important for you to understand. And that is this: why, how, and how much is the question. And then we're supposed to reveal the actual answer, right?
Okay.
So why, how, and how much is the question. So
do we want to do the why first?
Well, I just asked one question.
We just want to do them all.
Why?
Why have, okay.
Why, how much question? What's the answer? You have an answer to everything?
Yeah. Answer to everything. We've talked about life insurance having purpose.
Yes.
And so some of the purposes, you need a death benefit to cover your debts, might be to replace your income. That's kind of the why. And I think the key when you boil down the why is because I love my family. I want to make sure they're taken care of. So
right.
That's the why. For me.
Yeah.
How do I go about doing it? How do I know how much I need? Well, you give us a call and you come see us and we walk you through that and help figure that out.
You do some figuring.
That's right. Yeah. And then the how much, well, the purpose determines the need. And sometimes how much you can afford determines how much of that need we can cover.
Yeah. How much will that be?
Right.
Well, it's like, I don't mean to relate this to buying a car where somebody says, what kind of payment do you want? And then they try to fit the car into that. But imagine that sometimes in life insurance, you want to have some permanent and some term based on your budget.
Mm-hmm.
Because a permanent will be permanent and be used throughout our lifetime.
Right.
I like when younger people think longer term.
It doesn't happen a lot, but it is wonderful when it does.
And usually it has to be within a budget, and so that we could use it almost like, if you got a couple hundred dollars a month, then we can do something like the design that will create tax-free income for them down the road.
Yeah. And when it comes to that need, how much you need, talking to a young couple that they've just had kids and say, okay, maybe husband, maybe wife, what's going to happen if you pass away? Are they going to be able to stay in this house? And they kind of think for a second, are like, no. Okay, yeah. Then we need life insurance.
Yeah. So the question's why. So why has to be many reasons why. Now, life insurance to cover long-term care needs is one.
Yeah, we get to talk about long-term care.
All right. So if you're so excited, Jeff, you can talk about it. I don't really feel that excited about it, but you can. Go ahead, Jeff. Jeff's never been this way before. He did his cheerleading jump, which when he touched his heels, that was too much.
That's dangerous. So there are certain life insurance policies. They have an extra benefit for long-term care. And long-term care is another one of those things nobody wants to think about, nobody wants to talk about. But these policies, they'll allow you to use your death.
I got time out there.
Oh, what?
Okay. The only reason by long-term care is so you don't move into your kid's basement.
Oh, okay.
So people like that answer.
I don't know. I think more and more parents are like, well, they moved into my basement, so can't I move back into theirs?
Yeah, sorry, back to your long-term care talk.
But the older folks who are more mature, they say, I don't want to be a burden to someone else. So long-term care is important to them.
Yeah.
So you can buy life insurance with a long-term care benefit. You can use that death benefit to cover your long-term care expenses if you need it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't need it, maybe you do move into the kid's basement, then the death benefit still gets paid out to your beneficiaries when you die.
Absolutely.
So it's a fantastic tool. It costs money. It's not cheap. But it's a fantastic tool to use.
It fits best when someone says, oh, I have a rainy day fund. That's if I get really sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then we say, well, how much is in there? And then if we put that into an insurance policy over time or all at one time, you can design a better bucket, a bigger bucket to provide more benefit for long-term care or death combination.
Right.
I was trying not to get too technical on it, but the idea is this, the why, long-term care, that can be provided through life insurance where you're not losing your premium, just throwing it away. That's right. the old school style long-term care.
Right. That's just long-term care insurance.
Correct. And that's the one that's been jumping up their premiums all the time.
Yep.
Life insurance is creating a bucket of money that can then be used for reasons. Those reasons can be activities of daily living are failing, or you really need help.
Right.
And then you then use the policy and the death benefit gets reduced as you use it.
Right. But that's just using it for another purpose while you're still alive. And right. Whatever's left goes.
So what we're trying to do in this quarter is covering the why. Why would you buy life insurance? Do you need life insurance? Why? Why do you need life insurance? First of all, is you have someone to take care of, someone that needs your job, your income.
Right.
And if you don't have a job tomorrow, you're not here tomorrow. How do they continue the life that you had planned together? Life insurance can provide a check to help do that, pay off the debt, make it more affordable to stay where they are so they don't have to move out within a few months, right. Sell the house at an estate auction and lose value, you know, those kind of crazy things.
Yeah.
Other reasons why are to cover long-term care. Another reason why is to build a retirement plan. And then there's a buy-sell agreements with companies. And then there's this whole concept of legacy and inheritance. And then using life insurance for funding charities. There's so many reasons to have this explosion of value upon your death. Now, you don't get to get you might get your name on the building after you pass away if you might not know about it.
Right. You're not there to see it go up, but.
No, but if you think about the life insurance, if you know there's going to be huge taxes, the Forbes family did this. They knew there's going to be a big tax on the Forbes legacy, their massive net worth. Mm-hmm. They bought millions of life insurance that became tax-free to the next generation to pay the tax, to keep everything in place so that they can keep under control without having to sell on a forced sale to pay taxes.
Right. Forced sales are not good. We want to avoid them.
Right. So we're talking about why. What is your why when it comes to life insurance? Do you need life insurance? Well, why? And then the second one is, how are we going to pay for this? How much do we need? Let's calculate that. And the how much to me is like, is that how much death benefit? Is it how much premium? Is it how long I'm going to pay it?
Right.
So I confuse myself when it comes to life insurance a lot of times because life changes.
Right.
I like flexible policies because I want the policy to change with the times.
Right.
There's policies where you can build cash value and grow and have higher death benefits during those years when you need it. And then when you've been successful to win in retirement, and you have everything's ready to retire, and then you just need it for long-term care and for ultimate death benefit, you can actually scale down a policy down to what you really need again. So you can bring policies down later in life and make and have a policy that lasts a lifetime.
Right. And sometimes, depending on the purpose of the policy again, you don't have to pay for it for the rest of your life.
Right.
You can do what we call limited pay. There's something called a single premium life insurance policy where you just put a chunk of money in there and you've got your policy. There are other policies where you pay for a certain period of time and then you don't have to worry about it anymore. And so there are a lot of ways to take care of paying for it that they don't all have to go for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. So, all right. So we got a couple of minutes left here in Winning in Retirement on the do you need life insurance? The question we start the show with is, do you need life insurance, Jeff? How do you answer that when someone says, do I need life insurance?
Right now, I don't know. The answer is maybe. We're going to have to sit down and talk about your situation, and then I'll tell you.
And that reflects planning and advice. That is a difference in how you buy your insurance.
Right.
That's a big deal. We want you to understand, do you need life insurance? Let's figure it out. Should be the answer, no. There shouldn't be someone reaching behind them, grabbing a policy application, saying, all right, buy this.
Right.
Or like if you're buying your auto insurance and you say, they say, do you have any life insurance? I'll have a little bit. Oh, why don't you get this policy? It's more complicated than that.
Yeah. If I'm a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Okay.
And that's kind of like you're talking about with reaching behind and pulling out the life insurance application. Yeah.
What we've seen as financial advisors for a long time is that we have seen poorly designed or poorly performing life policies that need to be looked at, reviewed, revamped. It should be part of annual reviews. If it's been sold to you and never talk to that person again, it really needs to be looked at. This could be something bought in the 90s, the 80s, even the 2000s. We've had to look at those policies to make sure they're going to do what they are meant to do.
Right. There were some variable life policies in the 90s that had just ridiculous rates of return predicted. And then you get into the 2000s and they're not going to be there anymore.
Exactly right. Policy is universal life designed on a high interest rates, and interest rates went very low for a long time.
Right. So you got to review them, make sure they're doing what they need to do.
Yeah. It's a hard topic to cover, life insurance. We're not really covering anything to the technical level we enjoy sometimes in meetings. Not saying you have to become a life insurance expert, but you got to know why you're doing it, how much you need, and how we're going to pay for it, and how long to own it. I mean, those kind of things. And understand your why for insurance. So do you need life insurance? Answer the why, then we can figure out the rest.
Right. We can go from there.
That sounds good. That's what we covered today on Winning in Retirement is, do you need life insurance? Now, we look forward to working with you. So go ahead and give us a call. We want you to win in retirement. So take advantage of the opportunity to begin planning with us at Acres Financial Group. To schedule your free meeting with one of our team of advisors, go to our website at acresfinancialgroup.com. Scroll to the schedule a meeting section and let us know you'd like to schedule your free meeting. That's acresfinancialgroup.com. Or you can call us at 833-WIN-RETIRE. That's 833-WINRETIRE. We'll give you a call on Monday to schedule your free in-person or Zoom meeting with one of our team of advisors. Start planning for your retirement now. Go to acresfinancialgroup.com or give us a call at 833-946-7384. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Akers from Akers Financial Group, and we want you to be winning in retirement.
You've been listening to Winning in Retirement with your host, Brian Akers of Akers Financial Group. Akers Financial Group offers securities through Arcadios Capital, an SIPC and FINRA member firm. Advisory services are provided through Arcadios Wealth. Akers Financial Group and Arcadios do not share any common ownership. Neither Arcadios nor Akers Financial Group provides tax or legal advice. Advice given on Winning in Retirement is general in nature, and one should seek further advice from their financial advisor, broker, attorney, and or tax accountant before investing. Be sure to read each prospectus carefully to understand all the risks associated with each investment. Examples and scenarios shared are meant to be for illustrative purposes only. Past performance is not indicative of future results.